Grace to you and peace from the one who created all things and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is in response to a question. It's part of Jesus' farewell discourse in the 14th chapter of John. And when he gives this speech, it's in a response to a question from Judas, not Iscariot. Notice how they make that clear. It's Judas, but not the bad Judas. And the question that they ask, that Judas asks, is, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world? Jesus' answer, those who love me will keep my word. The Father will love them and will make a home with them. With them. It's a great question. How is it that God will reveal God's self to us? James Somerville in the Christian Century once suggested the following dialogue that might clear things up a little for us for this little conversation. Where are you going? Jesus answers, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come and I'll take you to myself. Can we go with you? No. Where I'm going, you can't come. How long will you be gone? A little while, and you will no longer see me, but I'll come back. Who will take care of us? I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Paraclete to be with you forever. Jesus sets up a parallel, two words, two things that are needed for God to be revealed in the world. The first thing is the Word. To hear the Word. And the second is to love Jesus. Now, those two things in this gospel lesson are inextricably intertwined. To know the Word and to love Jesus, that's the formula. And we're supposed to proclaim that Word to the world, it says in John. But I wonder, having Jesus set up that pairing of words to keep the Word, and to love Jesus, what that means for us. We start with the whole idea of what it means to keep the Word. I shared this morning in my sermon that my father was an entrepreneur. That's what we called him anyway. He was actually, I don't know how to explain it exactly. He bought and sold and created businesses. He'd get an idea and then try to figure out how to make money at it. Well, entrepreneurs, which is a very nice way of saying business scoundrel, don't always have the best of reputations. But my father, one thing that was really important to him was that he always kept his word. If he said he would do something, he would do it. It might take years, but he would do it. The problem was that he found that in his business that he was in, which was creating businesses, not everyone else kept their word. So keeping the word for us then becomes a kind of narrow thing. Will you keep your word? If you said you'd do it, will you do it? And keeping the word becomes the law. Walking the tightrope. But this text, keeping the word, is something else. It means literally to hold something dear, close to your heart. Will you keep my word? Jesus asks. Will you hold it dear to your heart? It's a vision in Revelation that the word of God will be, the name of God will be written on our foreheads, which is a shorthand way of saying it just can't be taken off. It's like flash. It's like a tattoo that's on you that you can't get rid of. It's there, and you hold it dear. To love it. Well, what is the word that we hold dear? We live in a world of phenomenally competing claims. Even words themselves have different kinds of meanings. I know when I was growing up, which may date me a little bit, but you know, if it was something that was really exciting and neat, we called it cool or hot. Same thing, different word. Well, these days there's all kinds of fun words floating around, and I need some help actually for my teenagers and that age. If you guys find something that you really like, what do you say? Don't freeze up on me. It took me 10 minutes to get something out of the last teenager. I mean, really, if I handed you a brand new iPod, would you go, "Why, my dear, thank you very much. I appreciate that." Would you say that, or would you use something else? Would you say, "Wow, that's..." It's okay to talk in church. Don't know? Awesome! That's so awesome! Okay? Well, if you think of a word, shout it out. Don't be afraid. All right, I'm going to go over here. What about you guys? Come on, I know you got all kinds of words. Some of them you can use in church. If something is really cool, really neat, what do you call it? What do you say? That's so... It's nice. It's awesome. But a word you don't use in church so much. You keep that in your... You have any good words? What's a good word? Sweet. You know. There's all these words. One of the kids this morning said, "Whole snap." Tight, baby. That's tight. Whole snap threw me for a total loop. If something isn't quite as cool, is it half snap? Okay? We use words in all kinds of ways, and sometimes, like I said, it's cool or it's hot. It's awesome. The word that we hold dear in this community maybe is something else. This weekend, I was a little bored. Just unusual for me. I turned the television on, which is always the kiss of death. And within a very short period of time, I came up with three words that compete for our attention and our loyalty. In the first one, it was one of these investment shows. You know, learn how to make money. And the word that kept coming up was consumer. It's a pretty important word these days. Sometimes it's used positively, cold, hot, cool. Sometimes negatively. But in this case, it seemed to be a word that encouraged us to get all that we can right now. Either there's limited resources in the world and you better get everything that you can get before everybody else gets it, or the world has plenty for everybody. And you just take it all for you. It's a word. Consumer. Be a consumer. My goodness, I'll never forget. One of the enduring images for me after 9/11 was not the picture of the tower, but the picture of the leaders of our nation saying, "We will not be defeated. Get out and get shopping and show your patriotism." The second one is be happy. I was surfing the channels, and there again, and I take the mickey on Joel Osteen quite a bit. He's doing a wonderful job. Except that the whole of the gospel seems to be contained in those words. Be happy, be prosperous. If you're happy and you smile long enough and you have what you need, what God really wants for you is to be wealthy and happy. It's one that it's a word, it's a competing word that we so easily fall into. It's why 20,000 people a Sunday go to hear Joel, because they desperately, like the rest of us, want to be happy. But it unfortunately has nothing to do with the word, with the way of the cross. This place that Jesus describes, to which we will be called, is certainly a place of joy. But it isn't as shallow as just being happy. And the third word, this was as I watched a special on the prison system, the third word that competes for our lives is behave. Now, I heard that a lot. That was from my mom. Frankly, I think behaving is vastly overrated. In fact, we probably do our best ministry when we aren't behaving, when we are acting up in the name of Christ. But you all know what's that, you know, you kids especially know, you know, you misbehave, cut that out. My wife sat with my children alone for all these 20 years with our two rambunctious children. And, you know, so I don't have, no offense, but those of you who have your kids in church, leave them here. I like kids in church. Don't worry about it if they misbehave. But my wife said, I said, my kids never misbehave in church. My wife said, yeah, you're up there. But behave, it means, it's sort of like what I talked about earlier. It's like you got the narrow line. If you stay on it, you're behaving. But the gospel word that Jesus brings us has nothing to do with staying on the line. It has to do with what happens when we fall off. I go and I make a place for you. So here we have these words that compete for our attention and our loyalty. We have the world. Every time you open up a magazine or a newspaper, I bought a copy of the Honolulu magazine, which, by the way, if you've never seen that, has to be, it's right up there with some of the women's magazines for the most ads per square inch. And in every way, we're called to be consumers, to be happy, to get everything that we want, and in some ways also to behave. But God's word is much, much simpler. That word that we are to hold dear, as it says in the gospel lesson, is be mine. I will be your God. You will be my people. It is be loved. I go to make a dwelling place and I leave with you the paraclete. And finally, be lovers that you might belong. We who are assailed on every side by competing words and interests are the called out people of God for love. All of those other things that we hold dear break us up. You know, Paul went out on the Sabbath day to the portico where he thought they would be praying, and who does he meet? Lydia, the dealer of purple cloth. And he shares with her the word of love, and her life is changed. It's a little microcosm for all of us. Paul shares the word of life, and Lydia's life is changed, and what does she do? She invites him home. In the same way, God shares God's word with us, and we are invited home. This is the place that God has made for you. It is home. But the key is that you cannot stay here. As comfortable as you might be, those of you who have pets, if you don't, I'm sorry. As comfortable as you might be, the very home that God calls us to and the very word that God holds us dear to sends us out into the world for mission, so that others can hear that word. Judas, not Iscariot, asks a question. How will God reveal God's self to us and not the world? And Jesus says, I will send the advocate. I will love you. You will love me. And you will be home. Welcome home. Amen.